start, and then we're like,
we're here. We're in it. Hey, Micah, do you know what today is?
It's hump day.
Oh, you got it right. First try. Oh. Have you seen that commercial, too?
Yeah. Oh, I love that commercial.
With the camel?
So good. Yeah.
We were worried that Winter Coup wasn't going to get any work after the series ended, but...
Well, that's not Winter
that's
Coup.
That's not him.
It's his cousin, George.
Yeah, Eric. How dare you? You can't
little
tell
do
the
people know that's a secretive
camels.
Commercial for our podcast that we have playing on TV, Game of Thrones. It's true.
Okay, it
subliminally tells people
if
to listen to this podcast.
If you play it backwards three times in a row, then it says Game of Thrones.
Very demonically.
The truth of it is, you know Mike in the commercial where the camel goes, Mike.
I can't remember that.
Mike is actually listening to Game of Thrones on his computer. You can't really see it, but that's what I was told.
Right. So you have to turn it up really, really, really loudly. And
exactly.
You can vaguely hear our theme sound.
Yeah, we had some people present at the production of that commercial, and they basically it was a collaborative effort. We got the camel on. You know, Winter Coup's cousin was available. Winter Coup was actually shooting a Hairspray ad. That's why he couldn't make it. But so there's some Easter eggs in that commercial. You know, some commercials are just so good, you have to, like, DVR them and watch them.
Yeah, you know, I really like commercials, you know? I took a class on that in school. This is not interesting to the Game of Thrones fan audience, but whatever.
It could be.
Forget about those television shows. Just 30 minutes of commercials.
Tom Haverford from Parks and Rec. He's like, I TiVo shows for the ads. I fast forward through shows to the ads.
Can you even record? Because I've never had a DVR. I feel like so left out right now. Can you even record advertisements? Or because aren't DVRs so smart now where they can just skip ads when you set a show?
Actually, I believe the way DVRs work, they just record... Not physically, but whatever's on the TV, it's just like as if you would have been recording it to a VHS. I've never had one, though. I don't know.
Write in and tell us.
Yeah, please. If you guys have a DVR, whatever that may stand for, please tell us.
So, hey guys, if Catelyn had had a DVR, what shows do you think she would record?
Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. I was just going to say that.
Nurse Jackie. Also, Veep.
Right. Up the Women.
Also, Felicity.
Yeah. And Battlestar Galactica, because who doesn't like that?
I just restarted that, by the way.
And Cougar Town.
Yeah, I did.
Podcast coming soon.
Yeah.
And Cougar Town.
Full House. Do you think she'd been a Full House fan?
Nah, she doesn't like San Francisco. Those weird houses make her feel uneasy. She likes big keeps. Although she's not in Winterfell this chapter. This is our first chapter with Catelyn.
It is.
I wasn't as excited for this. I don't really know why, honestly, but I was more excited to see, like, Jon, Arya, Tyrion, and then Kat's coming around. And this actually
still alive.
everyone else, I was more excited. No, but this actually turned out to be a really great chapter. My favorite one of the book so far, hands down.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, nice.
Oh, the favorite one.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you get so much from the show, and that's great.
Right.
But I really felt like in this chapter, just in this one chapter alone, I feel so much more... of the circumstance that's going on with Rob and how he is actually a motherfucking king. You know what I mean?
Like in the North.
Yeah. And hearing the in-depth stories about the kinds of medals that are in there, that are in his crown.
I wrote all of that down.
Right.
I
please,
thought that was so
since
cool.
you took notes and I didn't.
I thought she was going to say discussed. She wrote that. Like she initially
wrote it. I wrote about
I
the
penned
irons.
It.
George, he wrote to me. He was like, I just don't know what his crown's going to look like, Selena. Do you have any ideas? I'm like, yeah, actually, I was thinking about bronze and iron.
All the cold medals of the North.
Yes. I mean, it was amazing. Do you want me to read the description?
Please, yes.
Okay. So it writes, an open circlet of hammered bronze incised with the runes of the first men, surmounted by 9 black iron spikes wrought in the shape of long swords. Bronze and iron were the metals of winter, dark and strong to fight against the cold. Mm-hmm. I mean, George is on a roll with these metal stuff. Like last week we had the Baratheon medals, and this was amazing. I loved it.
This crown is a weapon. Can we just establish
like a ninja
that
throwing star?
There are nine spikes to it. It's like little swords and it's metal. This crown is you could just get impale somebody with this crown.
Like, hey, Kingslayer, sup? And then like throw it. And
or it could be like a deadly frisbee or something like
Xena. She throws the ring and it comes right back every time.
Exactly. Like that.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is that this crown, which is probably the coolest thing that George has written so far. The comet's cool, but this crown kind of one-ups it slightly.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I think
I know,
that
come on.
The coolest thing about it is that nobody's seen what this thing looks like for 300 years, because it's basically based off the legend of the original crown
Zelda.
For
the king of the north.
Crown of the north, exactly. And so it hasn't been seen for 300 years. My question to you guys is, like, do you think the sword smith just kind of improvised here, and this is kind of like a whisper down the alley crown where, like, people made shit up and added shit throughout the years? Like, how alike would you say that you think this actually is to the crown from 300 years ago?
76%.
Yeah. I would say it's pretty close. I think you just equated the telephone game with Whisper Down the Alley, did you? Because that is awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, they write it down, but they tend to exaggerate. Well, this is a badass crown anyway.
That's a better name for the game.
You know what's funny is I read this, and obviously we've read quite a bit of ahead, and we know that Robin and Catelyn's story is, you know, over and stuff. But... when I read this, the description of the crown, my mind immediately went into like foreshadowing mode. And I was like, ooh, so 9 spikes of iron. Like, is this some kind of, does this mean something? And, you know, I began counting Starks, and that was all about, I couldn't think of anything, but.
The smith was like, well, I can fit 9 of this size around it in a perfect circle.
That's what it was. But I was, you know, doing math, like 3 and 3 and 3. And then I was like, ooh, 3 heads of the dragon and all these kind of things. And it probably means nothing, but.
So does Robb Stark have like 9 enemies? Maybe he can stab them all with the crown and break one off in each of them.
See? Yeah, that's what I thought, but no.
I was waiting for someone to say, fill in the blank, to rule them all. And then, you know, I think that'd be kind
one crown. No.
9 spikes.
So it can't be. The other thing is this book cover. I don't know who designs
No, that's Renly's cover, isn't it? That's Renly's crown, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah, I was going to say, because there are not 9 spikes here. Yeah. So we'll just
that's
have
exactly,
to see.
I had the same thought because they were describing this crown and I was like, oh, it's in the cover. So cool. But no, it's Renly's with the stag.
So how about the fact that we're in River Run in just a couple of chapters into Clash of Kings?
It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't happen until season 3 of the show, does it?
Right.
We get to travel a whole lot in the
and
book.
And we get an Edmure, too, who isn't the ridiculous, characterized idiot that he is in the show.
Yeah, no, he was solid.
He's like
a
normal guy.
Yeah. The great thing about reading these books is I traveled all over. Like, I traveled thousands
Westeros.
Of miles today. Yeah, and it didn't cost me a damn penny.
I've been everywhere, man.
I thought that was great, and I really liked being there. And we saw this scene in the show, but not perfectly this way. And we got to hear a lot more of the detail that goes into it and hear more of the specifics of Rob's terms for the surrender, essentially, the peace between the Lannisters and between the North. And I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a bitterness almost from Catelyn towards Rob, because basically Rob throws out there, in the grand scheme of things, Arya and Sansa, they're not that important.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Which is an interesting, I mean, it's very interesting also because we're constantly reminded in this chapter that Rob is 15, you know, like this isn't the Richard Madden Rob with his little beard and stuff. This is a 15
well,
year
no,
old.
Well, no, this Rob has a beard.
Rob.
This Rob does have a beard though.
It's true. It's true. He does.
It's more ginger than Auburn,
red beard,
if you ask me. Red beard.
He thinks it makes him look more royal. Okay.
Right.
He's like one of the players on the Blackhawks. I think
you can just see this little 15-year-old boy with his wisps of beard trying to like twirl it between his fingers. And oh, we shouldn't make
I
fun.
I really liked
too soon.
The part where he was mentioning the terms when it came to Ned. I don't believe that it was a jab subconsciously to his sisters. I think he was simply stating the point.
Right.
Like, I could definitely trade Jaime for father. And in that case, if he were still alive, that's the true king of the North. That's the true hand of the king. The list goes on. Like, that would be a good trade, you know?
Yeah.
You know what else I found really interesting about that whole situation, about their discussion, is that already at this point in the book, I mean, Richard Karstark is already showing that he isn't just going to sit back and let Rob sort of run the show.
Yeah, he storms out. He just storms out very, very noticeably.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that he's pissed off about the terms of peace that he doesn't agree with because he lost some of his family in the Whispering Wood. But I mean, I stand with Rob on this for all intents and purposes. Like, he's doing what he can to stop everything. You know, you can't just go out and maim a few people because something happened during a battle, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
True. Yeah. And isn't it Cersei, or it's not Cersei, but it's Catelyn who says about Cersei that if they do anything to Jaime, she's going to want blood for blood. But I find that a little bit weird because they killed Ned. So it would only be right at the end of the day that the Starks or somebody in their camp killed Jaime Lannister, because that would in fact be blood for blood.
Well, I don't think the Lannisters are going to see it that way.
Well, and they also don't know that Cersei didn't plan for Ned to die, you know, that it was just on the shoulders of Joffrey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that little shit.
You know, well, I think she should be, yeah, she should be looking to make a peace with them fairly quickly because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just going to go off to the wall. He wouldn't have even needed to be bargained for, really.
Right.
Ned would have been on the way to the wall, and then Rob could have planned some sort of stop him on the way to the wall kind of, you know, plan.
It's kind of like, I mean, obviously the Starks is a much more real threat, especially after Jaime is taken to the Lannisters. But I think it's kind of along the same lines as we were talking last week about the wall, or a few days ago, about where it's not the most direct threat at the moment. Like, Cersei in King's Landing has more sort of pressing issues to deal with right in front of her.
Yeah. Like killing Robert's bastards.
She's got bastards to kill, okay?
Big decisions for the queen.
Those babies won't kill themselves.
Quote of the day. Oh, God, that's good. It's true, though. I mean, Cersei is busy doing her own things. And I mean, her mind obviously isn't as much on the war as it is with Tywin.
Yeah.
And Tywin's wrapped up. Tywin is figuring out this battle situation.
Right, now, right?
Right, yeah, he's busy.
No, but yeah, I mean, I think what was interesting about Rob's peace treaty was how many of the items were standard, you know, kind of like hit the prisoner release program where he's going to release two every year.
That was so good.
I know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, totally weighted in his favor, though. But I mean, obviously, the mechanic of that deal being, listen, you give us valuable people, you give us 10. And right. Over the course of 5 years, if our peace is upheld, everyone will have been sent back. Two a year, you know, you're fine.
But Jaime wasn't even a part of that plan. That was based on, what is it, Tywin's good behavior?
Yeah.
Whether or not he'll ever see Jaime again. So I do think Rob maybe overextended his hand a little bit, because Jaime wasn't even part of part of the question.
Yeah, but it was almost like you're sitting there, if you're in the audience listening to Rob, it's like, you know, as he's going through each item, it's like, yeah, we can do that, get to the punchline. Yeah, that's probably not gonna happen.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's pretty obvious that he needed to include Jaime in there to some degree because he is the Jaime Lannister. I was sort of surprised that he wasn't included in the deal, and I'm wondering in my mind, like, is he the ultimate surrender? Is that where Rob's thinking? Like, it's all over. Here's Jaime.
Yeah, you know? Well, because they kind of talked about, they touched on that too. I mean, it kind of seems like it's as tactical as Rob is, and as, you know, kingly as he's trying to be. Catelyn kind of called him out on the fact that ultimately the whole Sansa Arya thing too. It comes down to the fact that he doesn't want to see Jaime released because he's afraid of him. You know, he knows that Jaime can beat him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they got him in a surprise attack the first time. That's unlikely to happen again. Mm-hmm. But furthermore, I think, how can Rob even pretend to call it a peace treaty when he's got Jaime Lannister and is not bargaining Jaime Lannister at all? There can be no peace as long as Jaime is captive. I think that much is clear so far, you know, in the books, in the show, and all of that stuff. So there's not going to be a peace, even though we don't see the response, because it's, you know, going to take about a month to get there with on the back of Cleos Frey, this captive. Do you guys think that was cool how he basically brought this Frey down out from the dungeon, said, I'm not freeing you. You're going to take this message to the queen. Yeah. You're going to bring her response back to me, and then it's back in the dungeons you go. So this guy's got like an assignment, but he's not being free.
A Frey that's loyal to a Lannister. No.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like thing. How Rob, he kind of slipped in there that Rob was going to send Catelyn to the Freys. I was like, seriously?
You can help me pick out a bride, mother.
It's not her time to go to the Freys just yet.
Oh, clearly, though, he hasn't met the nurse yet because he's still thinking he's going to honor
her. There is no nurse. There's no nurse.
There's no nurse?
No. It goes a little differently in the story.
That'll be
books.
Exciting when we get to that.
Well, currently he feels that he's going to honor Frey's bet, agreement. Right. So exactly. That was what was interesting.
He has no
reason
not to.
Yeah, how about that?
There's no nurse?
No, there's no nurse.
There is no Dana, only Zool.
Only Zool. Okay.
Only Zool.
But well, yeah. It's weird. Question real fast, though. Yeah. How about that, what you just brought up, Eric, the fact that he has this loyalty to Walder Frey, and he's actually pretty adamant about it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because he's a good guy. I mean, picking a different wife, he very foolishly did not assume that was going to be a big deal, you know? But like, even so right now, he's still Robb Stark. He's doing what he can to stick to his vows.
It's true.
He's such a badass in this scene that, again, I wonder why this wasn't his point of view, you know, and it was Kat's. Obviously, we have everything afterwards with Kat and her brother, which is why this, I don't know, it was just all included. Kat's a spectator. We don't really get any of her thoughts. Maybe one comment about Ned, you know, having like called to her in bed the night before or something like that. But other than that, it's basically all about Robb until she leaves. So the first half of the chapter is Robb, though, and I just think it's really cool.
Well, she does say that, you know, she was having an interior monologue there in between a lot of the lines, which is pretty cool because it was sort of an echo of how the Tyrion chapter earlier in this book went. But she pretty much all but blamed herself for Ned leaving and going to King's Landing. She was like, Winterfell, yes, Winterfell is where you should have stayed, you know, instead of going off to King's Landing. Right. Something about warm bodies leaving to the north, to the south and returning as bones or something. I forget.
Yeah, yeah. And she blames herself. She says, I told him to go and do his duty.
Yeah. And so that's sort of kind of ish what we saw in season 3, but not really, you know, just a little bit of a Cat that's hard on herself.
But I agree. Just like River Run, it's interesting to see these things from season 3 of the series in the beginning of book 2.
Yeah. First of all, that is super interesting. But just on the fact that Robb doesn't have a point of view. I mean, this is one of the reasons why, you know, when reading the books, it's sort of, I've always found it really hard to emphasize him. But I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not sure that any of the kings have point of views.
I'd love a Joffrey chapter.
Oh my god, I know, right?
Went downstairs today. My mom's being a real bitch.
Yeah. Well, so maybe we've got that to look practice. Forward to.
Let me go crossbow another whore.
Yeah. Parents just don't understand.
The dog brought me some pumpkins to shoot today. I wanted a pie too, so
dear
I got
diary.
One.
So wait,
that's a good point, Selena.
Five kings right now?
Yeah, who are the five kings? Can we get over,
I think
Stannis, Renly.
Stannis, Renly, Joffrey, Robb, and
Balon Greyjoy.
Balon Greyjoy, yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking.
Or Mance.
What about
Mance
Rayder?
Too. Mance Rayder too, yeah. But I was just thinking, like, maybe the reason that there aren't any perspectives, I mean, I guess except for Dany, there aren't really any perspectives from the leaders because it's about the rise to power. You know what I mean? Like, without getting too heavy into it, it's about the ladder, guys. As very
not the climb. It's a climb.
It's the climb.
It's the
cue
climb.
The music.
If we had a chapter from Rob's perspective, if we had anything from Rob's perspective, it would be too much for the book, and it would self implode and ignite.
And it might remind us too much of John. Too. I mean, they're very different places, but they seem to me to be very similar characters.
That is true. Yeah.
But anyway, getting sidetracked a little bit there. You know, it was funny because we were talking last time how there seems to be in every chapter of this book, there seems to be a little piece of backstory. And this week we get the backstory of Harrenhal.
We do. And that was wonderful. Absolutely.
Dragons.
And how a line was ended. It reminded me a little bit of the Reigns of Casimir.
How about Tywin Lannister, Eric, your Charles Dance infused character here that you love oh so much.
Charles
only
Dance
second
infused.
To Theon Greyjoy.
I like that. I'm going to use that.
Third to Joffrey.
Yeah, exactly. So look at the tactics he utilizes. Look at what he does to
at the tactics he utilizes. What?
Rapes and pillages and burns and does
surely
all sorts.
That's not Tywin doing it.
It's all Tywin by himself.
Not, he's not going and raping. And
he's giving
he's
the order.
He's all fighting his own war.
Pillaging.
He's giving the order.
The mountain is his little puppet.
Yeah, that makes me uncomfortable.
Well, that's good. Eric good still start. Has a soul, ladies and gentlemen.
What do you want me to say? You know, what also makes me uncomfortable, changing the subject, is that Catelyn does not like Theon, and Theon got some
I
hate
from her. I was just
going to
bring that up. That was It's so funny, because I think, you know, it's funny, I was reading this chapter, I was thinking, maybe this is why, I mean, we don't like Theon as readers, because we see him from these kinds of perspectives where he's just described as this creepy, smiley, like Peter Pan type character. Yeah.
Yeah. And she doesn't give Rob a solid reason either. She doesn't say, I don't trust him flat out.
She just doesn't like him.
She just doesn't want him to go to his father. She says he'll be made better use of as a hostage,
She's
which is
right.
a weird way of putting it because he's technically a foster. Or whatever.
She's completely right, though. And I think she's right to be annoyed. I mean, when Rob's sitting there giving commands, he doesn't need an annoying like friend that tagged along. You know, like if one of your friends got really famous and really powerful, yeah. like one of your friends is president and you're in the White House just like chilling with them and you're like, hey, man, yeah, blow up Russia. That'd be fun. Yeah. Do that. Like he's just in his
just
ear.
Give me France. You know, give
yeah,
me Hawaii.
Can you get me
Come
something,
on.
Too? Yeah, I need something, too. That's essentially what Theon's doing. But I mean, she does give him credit for being a badass fighter.
Yeah. Well, I think Rob gives him credit too. I mean, basically the reason he wants to send Theon away is because they're going to need Balon Greyjoy's ships, and Theon just did some cool stuff with some wildlings in some forest somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen some School of Thrones ultimate bromance right there.
Yeah, it's true.
It's
but
true.
The thoughts that he had toward the Iron Islands and toward Balon Greyjoy, I thought it was very fair. Catelyn was like, you know, he used to be a king. He could have those aspirations again. And he was like, hell, I wasn't even a king last week. Let's do it. He was like, he can be the king of the Iron Islands. I don't even give a shit.
Everyone can be a king.
As long as we're buds, like, that's fine with me. And
crowns
I'm thinking, like,
for everybody.
Go, Rob. Because it's true. I mean, let him
you
be the king over his own
you
dominion.
Get a crown.
Check under your seats, listening to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We have magically placed crowns under your seats. If you're driving,
well,
please wait until you're
they're
stopped.
They're all from Burger King, just so you guys know.
We need paper Burger King
crown
crowns.
A crown, hey.
It is, okay? Not all of them are with the steel and the metals of winter.
Some are plastic.
And some are paper.
Yeah. And that's the moral of the story.
It's the thought
actually,
that counts.
Actually, maybe we'll one-up it and we'll get crowns from medieval times for everybody who listens to the show.
Yeah. Oh, my God,
well,
yes,
you can do that.
Do
we
it.
Might have to have a few more ads before that happens.
Yeah.
No, we should just go on a like, giant dig somewhere.
Speaking of giant digs, yes. I wanted to get back to King Harren for a second there.
Oh, my God, you win the transition game.
He completely... His story that was laid out was a heartbreaker because, I mean, to sum it all up, what he did was... When the kingdoms were actually the Seven Kingdoms and he had his place and they were badasses there, he was like, I'm going to build the biggest, baddest keep all you bastards have ever seen. And they were like, fine, I bet you will. And then he did 40 years of slaving, not as long as it takes to build a pyramid, we know, probably as much slaves. He did it. And it was literally the day it was finished that Mr. Targaryen decided to move up to Westeros with his family and his dragons. And we all know what happened from there. The day he finished, he entered Westeros.
It's just
That's
like putting
crazy.
The finishing touches on your what is it, House of Cards, you know? You're like, it's finally done.
And then a dragon arrives.
A gust comes in.
And then
yeah.
the roommates come home to watch Mad Men. And it all falls down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible, but it's one of those amazing visuals from the books, isn't it? That castle of stone that's just melted.
Yeah, it was fantastic because the moral of that story was an old Nan is where
Don't
they
play
overheard
with fire.
This. Yeah, essentially, yeah. And they also looked at the comet in this chapter. And so now that you're back, Selena, you get in a little of the comet talk.
Oh, yeah.
It was there.
Still
and
there.
It was red messenger.
Still there. Yeah, they were like, see, this is what I think about how the sigils are concerned. People keep saying, oh, it's Lannister crimson. Well, it's a color. And if it matches anyone, he would be right. It is the red fish on the blue background because the sky's blue, right? That's the closest match I've seen so far.
Yeah, I agree.
The red fish, like Tully?
Yeah, I mean, it's not actually a fish, it's a comet, but it's swimming in the sky.
Swimming
know.
Through the sky.
I mean, it makes more sense than, that could be a Baratheon stag. Like, no, it couldn't, that's a comet.
I mean, it's true. Or again, you know, the whole dragon thing, it's blood, it's fire, it's what have you. Like, it could be the flayed man for all we know, you know?
Well, that's
no.
what's great about it. Everyone defaulted, even Catelyn was like, you know what, it's probably just the color of blood. And that's what everyone's defaulted to.
I just want to know, like, what it was.
A comet.
I know, but like,
when the planets formed in that solar system, there's a little leftover debris, and then there it is.
I bet you're right. I bet it, like, it's nothing except something to tie the story together. It's just my, you know, my reader's mind again with looking at foreshadowing. I want it to mean something.
There's going to be the length of the tale.
A character called Comet in
The Winds of Winter. I think it's the Red Viper, everybody.
Oh,
ooh,
keeps the snow nice and
that's
clean.
That's how he arrives. Nice. He flies across the sky.
Yeah.
I just think it's this one cool unifying factor because we have five kings, as we've mentioned earlier in the show, and we're going to all these different places. We haven't been out to visit Daenerys yet, though I'm assuming she potentially could see the comet as well. And it just shows you that despite how spread out all these characters are, especially the Starks, because that's the family that we really got to know early on, and now they've been all dispersed into different areas. And despite where they are, they have this one unifying thing that they look to in the sky, and it's this comet. And it's cool that every person, or even multiple people, aside from the point of view character that we're seeing the chapter through, all of these individuals, all of these characters that we've come to like or detest, depending on, you know,
personal preferences.
Yeah, exactly. Eric, you know, they all have different interpretations, and that's really cool.
It's pretty much a drinking game at this point, though. I've learned I can rely on the comet getting mentioned at least once. So if I want a steady buzz, that's the choice word that I'm looking for.
Actually, Eric, we came here today not to record, but to schedule an intervention of sorts. We're going to need you to drink less cider, buddy. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Buzz, my comet.
Woodchuck cider?
You know, it's a number of ciders. Most recently, Strongbow.
Oh,
nice. All tonight.
All tonight.
Oh, within the last hour.
So anyway, this chapter wraps up with her meeting her father again. And he is in a bad state, as we saw on the show, but we see much earlier in this book.
Yeah.
And Blackfish is there.
Yes, Blackfish.
He played a little bit of a game with Kat there, where, you know, they're talking about Tywin and Harrenhal, and how do you draw Tywin out of Harrenhal? Well, there's got to be a reason in order for him to leave, right?
This was cool. This was cool.
And Catelyn's like, you mean somebody like Renly? And Blackfish just smiled on the inside and on the outside and said, yeah, that's what I mean. And the chapter ended. And Cat's like, oh, I guess I'm going to see Renly.
Oh, Renly. I'm looking forward to seeing him in this book. I guess that means we should do Owens now since we've reached the end.
My own, this chapter, there was a mention, and you guys, I know you all caught it, Beric Dondarrion, who was even this early claimed to have been killed. So Beric was supposed to be killed by Burton Crakehall, and somehow that was no longer so, or that wasn't so, and Crakehall got killed instead. So there's some news.
Call him Cake Hall, but
I love Cake
Hall. There's a hall of cake. Micah, this is your cake intervention. Beric Dondarrion and his Red Priest. So they both get a mention, and I don't know what it all means except to say that Beric is pulling some afterlife shit so far so early, which is really cool.
Definitely. I just want to give mine to it. It's kind of a tame one this week, but I want to give it to a line by Catelyn when she says, "If your crown is the price we must pay to have Arya and Sansa return safe, we should pay it willingly." Because I like it. We always just see Cat sort of fawning over Rob, or maybe that's my show perspective tainting my view of the books. But I like that she actually remembers that she has other children that need to be saved.
Yeah, like that's good and all, but I think if they don't continue fighting, they're going to end up all on serving on the wall. I think that's just going to be what everybody else chooses for them. You know, like if they were to get back together, people would still just send them off because they want their lands, they want Winterfell, they want, you know, kind of the Starks.
Absolutely.
Completely out of
the way. I mean, that's true, but I think it's just a case again of seeing the greater good versus protecting your own family, kind of, which they're all kind of caught between all the time in this series.
I would have done whatever it took to get the family together and then planned after that. Because I still think that, I mean, obviously their choices led to their demise. I think that if they would have changed a little earlier now, it could have been a little bit better for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not my own. My own is when Rob turns to Sir Edmure Tully, and he basically tells Edmure to not call him this boy or the boy or anything yes. other than your king, sir, your sire, your grace, etc. Because, I mean, if you're going to have to wear the crown and you're going to have to give directions to everyone, they should at least have to call you the king. And I think that's the only point Rob was making. So, yeah, it makes sense.
I like mm-hmm. it.
I mean, all Edmure wanted to do was support Rob. He was like, oh, yeah, the boy is right.
I know. Like, no. And Rob was like, shut up.
No. It was an easy mistake, and Rob lost his cool on him. Not cool, Rob.
Yeah, because he was really pissed at Catelyn.
Yeah.
He took it out on Edmure.
So, and Grey Wynd yeah. felt it. Now, I loved how George added that in. He was like, as if Grey Wynd felt the anger surge up in Rob. And I was yeah. like,
foreshadowing. Well,
did he? Did he feel the
Bite
anger?
Bite his face off. Bite his face off.
Ride him into the sunset. Go.
My own also... go it actually is kind of related into this conversation, and it goes to Catelyn, and it's when they're all walking, like Zach said, and they were talking about, you know, battle tactics, and Edmure says, do we grow stronger sitting here? Our host dwindles every day. And Catelyn responds by saying, and whose doing is that?
Boom.
Yeah, and I don't know if we really talked about that, but it seems as if all of the River Lords have gone back to their little homes and are kind of fighting and dealing with things independently, which I think is, you know, even as early as now, here we are in a couple chapters into Clash of Kings, like Rob is starting to deal with these issues. Selena mentioned Karstark earlier, you know, Catelyn telling Rob not to send Theon to Pyke. And you see like all these River Lords, which would have been very helpful to them, had they all stayed as one unified force, are now kind of scattered about. So I think that, you know, slowly but surely the pieces are starting to fall apart.
Yeah. I mean, what was he supposed to do, right? These men had to protect their own lands or whatever, but, it's a tough call because now that leaves River Run less defended.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I saw both sides, but you're right.
It's good we always have you here to provide, you know, the ultimate perspective, Eric. You know,
well, I don't mean to do that to be side. Annoying.
Oh, no, I meant it seriously. I wasn't being ironic. It's good. It's good. We need someone to stick up for the other side.
The wrong side.
I like how both sides, the right and wrong, were presented.
There is
in the,
no
in the,
right
in the
or
chapter,
wrong side. But.
It was still
there's
a zing.
Only power, and those two weak. Oh,
there
no,
is only Zul.
Yes, yes. Knowledge is power. Is that power
yep.
is power?
Knowledge is right.
We'll talk more about that on Friday for
it's
sure.
It's about the climb. It's,
all right. Well, speaking of the climb, our Twitter tweets are much like a climb. I less won that.
More like a flying.
It's,
okay, go back.
It's like a. I don't really know what. It depends on what kind of app you're in, honestly. But we got some owns leading in. We got some future owns from you guys, which are greatly appreciated because we have odd recording times. Imagine that. We're transatlantic and our recording times are odd. That's weird. Now, that was ironic.
One of the such tweets that we speak of in which we were sent an own, Ryan Shepherd says, my Catelyn chapter own goes to Great John Umber, who never fails to start the king in the north.
Yeah. I thought that was so funny.
That was awesome.
At one point, he's just like getting started. He's just like, king, 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 king in the north.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I do agree that that is.
They should
is...
get the Great John and Robert Baratheon in a room together and just
for
let them start drinking
metal.
And
talking yeah. about stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
True Steel 2.0.
Ah, that would be good. I don't even know what to do most of the time when I do Robert's voice, so I just cackle at people.
Also, Claire Ferner submitted Catelyn in her chapter, quote, you're old enough to choose a bride without your mother's help, end quote. So, yeah, clearly not Rob.
Clearly.
She said. And the other ones that I'm reading are all Sam's owns from the previous week.
He did have good owns. I like how, wait, so this isn't an own, but I think this person deserves an own all by himself, Zach Harrison, for currently downloading 87 episodes of Game of Thrones.
Jeez.
Well, wow. I think you win something for that one. Just a little honorable mention there.
Look under your seat, Zach Harrison. You may find...
paper crown.
There might be a crown there.
It's a thank you card
yeah.
from all
87
of
you don't spikes.
Know. Yeah, but we're not sure if it's from Burger King or Medieval Times, so you'll have to let us know.
Do
it's
you own Hallmark. A franchise of Burger King, sir? I think he may.
Yes.
I might.
Which means he can actually provide us with crowns.
Sponsored
it's true. I would like
by...
free crowns.
And free Whoppers.
Burger King.
Or if you like the grilled chicken sandwich, Eric, you can get
one of those. Oh, God, that would be great.
So funny.
Well, so our sponsor of today is Burger King.
Today's
large
podcast
fries, only $1.99.
Yeah, if you give the code GOO at the checkout, you get a special crown.
Listen, damn it, I will say this. That's like the only place I can go when I'm filming that's actually fast food because they have veggie burgers. That's like the only place that has it. This is not a real ad, but they do have those. That's true.
Game of Burger Kings. Oh my God. Clash of Burger King. There, anyway.
And what would an episode of Game of Owns be without an own sent from the past into the future from a Mr. Dylan Manwoody? His email own reads, I give my own to the awesome foreshadowing on the line, some sellsword out of Kohor would sooner maim a man than kill him. That sellsword being the guy who has Jamie's hand cut off. Oh.
Well spotted.
Mixing shit up there, Dylan Manwoody. I see you dancing. Well, that was an own, and it's going to be hard for... Well, I don't think mine was better than that, but there is a chance for everyone to top our owns. In addition to competing with your fellow companions in the world that download this podcast, it's easy. Just defeat them in the game. There's one way to do it, or many, Eric.
Yes, one of those such ways is Twitter, twitter.com/GameOfOwns. Just tweet us at GameOfOwns on Twitter when you're composing your tweet. That is one way. Another way is to email us. contact@gameofowns.com is our address. You can send us an email just like Dylan Manwoody has done for a recurring amount of times. And finally, you can also post them to our wall on Facebook at facebook.com/gameofowns.
And another way that you can provide us feedback is by heading over to the place that you most likely downloaded this show, which is iTunes. And just like Gabriel_Nick and Dyer Airedale, who left us reviews in the last couple of days, you can do the same. It is the month of July. Nothing left. That's what I got. Nothing left.
I got nothing left.
Nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable. However, Gabriel_Nick thought that it, I don't know, perhaps they misclicked as there's only 4 stars here, but perhaps Gabriel wasn't aware of the rules. I will read their review, though, because it is a very nice review here. It is with the title, Enjoyable! Exclamation part. Part. See, I don't know. I haven't
One
even been drinking.
This is
terrible.
And 4 stars for you, sir.
It's all that cake. It's all that cake in that hall.
Yeah. Gabrielle, I should say, has this to say. Intelligent, but don't take self seriously. Combo of book, non-book readers makes for interesting perspectives / insights.
Yeah, it does.
Articulate / good diction. Don't end every statement sounding like they're asking a question.
Red leather, yellow leather. Period.
Pleasant voices. Which
question
is always
mark?
Good to know. Yeah.
Pleasant voices.
Voices? Don't speak over one another.
One another?
Question.
What?
Good structure and what pacing.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Good chemistry and interaction. Pan-Atlantic team. And good recording quality.
Or just say panic what?
Pan-Atlantic team.
Work on your diction, Selena, please. God, our chemistry is lacking today.
I don't even.
I'm going to work on that.
Aside from Gabrielle, Dyer Airedale wrote in to say, thank you, crew. Really enjoying the off-season review of book 2.
Woo! We're really enjoying doing it. It's been a lot of fun, honestly. Mm-hmm. I like this.
Me too.
We're roughly at the end of this week. We will be 1/8 of the way through the book.
That is exciting.
Yay,
wow.
Thanks
for calculating.
Actually, wow. That's fast.
Yeah.
Of course, I've missed both of them, so it's easy for me.
Your math skills are just unparalleled.
They're on point this episode. Thank you so much for your kind reviews on iTunes, though. Those are incredible and outstanding. People don't use that word enough.
Don't ever pull what Gabriel just tried to pull there. Because
I think it's Gabrielle.
Gabrielle.
Oh.
But we can call them Gabriel,
Gabriel
since they
Gabrielle.
Only gave us 4
yeah.
stars.
So we will mispronounce your name if you give us less than 5 stars. That is our threat.
we appreciate those. Obviously,
yes.
There's an old spiel. Those help people find our show on iTunes because it's a dangerous battlefield that we must push forward in. So thank you.
Love is a battlefield.
Yep. iTunes is a battlefield.
Oh my God. Please, somebody sample both of those and that would be incredible.
It's Wednesday. Friday is just 2 days and two clicks
away. No, Eric,
away.
It's hump day.
It's hump day. Friday is just 2 days and two double clicks away.
So if Wednesday is hump day, what's Friday?
End of the weekday.
Bear day.
Bear it's, day.
It's Friday.
It's park your car
Friday.
And go to the
no,
beach
I'm not
day.
Even gonna.
See you guys then. I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Selena Wilkin.
I'm Zach Louie.
I'm Mike Tannenbaum. I don't even
Bye.
Need to change my voice.
There we go. Perfect.